This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, October 15th, 2012. And I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll get to all the NFL, but we're going to start with the Major League Baseball playoffs. And we'll go to the National League, where the Miracle St. Louis Cardinals, miracle because they were down 7-5 to the Washington Nationals in a deciding game in the ninth inning and scored four runs to win and move forward in the playoffs. Out in San Francisco to play the Miracle San Francisco Giants, miracle because, as you know, they were down 2-0 against Cincinnati, having lost both games in San Francisco, and then they go to Cincy and beat Cincinnati 3 games in a row, never happened before. So it's the Cardinals against the Giants. Game one yesterday, and the Giants, the Cardinals jump out to a 6-0 lead. The Giants battle back to cut it to 6-4, but the Cardinals hold on. Cardinals 6, Giants 4. Mojica gets the win in relief. Edwin Mojica, who came in and struck out Scudero, Sandoval, and Posey back-to-back-to-back in the seventh inning. He was unbelievable. For the Cardinals, David Freese, of course, the MVP of last year's World Series, hit a home run, and he's been big last year and now this year. Was his first home run of the playoffs this year, but he's a clutch player, as he showed last year. Freese, 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs and the run scored. Also for the Cardinals, Carlos Beltran, you know, rejuvenated this year, maybe the comeback player of the year. He's been unbelievable. Beltran also hit a home run to help give the Cardinals that 6-4 lead. Give the Cardinals credit. Descalzo, 2-for-4 with a run scored. They only got 8 hits, but they got 6 runs. Descalzo, the only guy with more than 1 hit for the Giants. Scudero, 2-for-5. He's the only Giant with more than 1 hit. Mojica gets the win. Bumgarner takes the loss. Mott with his first save here. Of course, he's been the closer all year for the Cardinals. Cardinals 6, Giants 4. Cosma had another RBI double. Cosma, the little shortstop, the rookie. And now David Freese has 25 runs batted in his first 25 games in postseason play, second only to the great Lou Gehrig. Of course, Gehrig's 25 games were 25 World Series games. To me, there's a big difference. But Gehrig actually had 32 RBIs in his first 25 postseason games. St. Louis 6, San Francisco 4. St. Louis leads the best of 7 series now, 3-2. I'm sorry, 1-none. They won their prior series against the Nationals 3-2. And again, just to go back to that game briefly, Descalzo with a huge homer. The Cardinals with 4 in the ninth. I mean, it was just amazing. Give the Nationals credit. You know, they're going to give Washington a lot of grief, the front office, because of their handling of Steven Strasburg. But the Nationals had a fantastic season. Obviously, we've talked about Strasburg and how poorly he was handled. But in that last game, the Nationals had jumped out to a seemingly insurmountable 6-0 lead. They cut it. The Cardinals cut it to 6-5. The Nationals got an insurance run in the eighth. But again, the Cardinals with 4 in the ninth, beat the Nationals 9-7, now beat the Giants 6-4. And they lead 1-0 in the best of 7 series for finally the National League pennant. You know, when they talk about pennant races, are you playing for the pennant? That's just not true in baseball anymore. It hasn't been true for decades. You're playing for the pennant now. You're not playing for the pennant when you win your division. You're not playing for the pennant when you win the wild card. You're not even playing for the pennant when you win your division series. But now here in the NLCS Championship Series and the ALCS Championship Series, now finally, And again, part of the weakness of baseball and part of the this is the way it is now in all sports. You have to have plenty of layers of playoffs to make that money and keep the interest going. But now they're playing for the pennant in the National League and the American League. And in the American League, many would argue that the playing for the pennant is already over, as Detroit yesterday shuts out the Yankees 3-0. Now, again, if you've been following this, you know that on Saturday, when Detroit, and this is a tough go for the Yankees, they had to play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Orioles. They beat the Orioles in Game 5, a C.C. Sabathia masterpiece. They beat them 3-1. You know all about the heroics of Ibanez, et cetera, last week. But they had to play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday against the Orioles, admittedly at home, Saturday, Sunday against Detroit, admittedly at home. But Saturday night, of course, Derek Jeter looked like going for a routine grounder, broke his left ankle, done for the season. First real major injury, was on the DL last year, of course, but first real major injury of his career. And a lot of people, and I have to say I'm a Yankee guy, but me included pretty much, thinks it pretty much went up in smoke when Jeter broke his ankle. Now, Detroit won that first game 6-4-12. The Yankees with another miracle comeback. Ichiro hit a two-run homer. Ibanez hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth to tie it at 4. But the Tigers, to their credit, came back and scored 2 in the 12th. That was Saturday, Tigers 6, Yankee 4. Jeter breaks his ankle. And then yesterday, Anibal Sanchez looked like, I don't know, Justin Verlander. Of course, everybody's looking like Justin Verlander pretty much against the Yankees. They've been horrid offensively. But last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, Detroit 3, Yankees nothing. Sanchez was unbelievable. 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeout. Hiroki Kuroda, although he was charged with 3 earned runs, he was masterful too. 7 2/3, 5 hit, 3 runs all earned, no walks, 11 Ks. But when he left the game, it was 1-0, and even that one was scored. You know the old rule, you can't assume a double play, but Robinson Cano, I think, should have been given an error, ground ball, easy double play. Nix with a perfect throw to Cano on the transfer. Cano loses the ball, so the correct call was made out at second, but obviously he couldn't throw the first. As a result of that, the run from third scored, as opposed to the third out being made at first. Detroit 1, Yankees nothing. The next inning, if you saw the play, base hit to right, Swisher throws it in. Cano tags out the runner. He's definitely out. Second base ump calls him safe. And again, clearly he was out. As a result of that, Jeff Nelson was the ump at second. Omar Infante was the runner. He was definitely out. If you see the replay, you'll see him reach for the bag as he's being tagged. And as he's being tagged, while he's reaching for the bag, he doesn't even reach the bag. His hand comes down maybe 6 inches from the bag. Then he reaches again, touches the bag, and I guess because the tag was underneath, at least that's what Joe Torre said after the game, the ump, Jeff Nelson, thought he was safe, admitted after the game he was wrong. The problem there, and it's an interesting dynamic, but you'll know it if you understand baseball. A 1-0 game, who are the Tigers bringing in? They're bringing in Valverde, who gave up 4 runs to the Yankees in the ninth the night before? Probably not. In fact, I think Leland had announced at least 4 yesterday. Valverde was not going to close. You got to wonder what they're going to do day off today, starting tomorrow. But he brings in Phil Koch, but because of that bad call, the Tigers get a bloop single and another base hit, and they score 2 more runs. Obviously, it's easier to relieve in a 3-0 game in the ninth than it is in a 1-0 game. So Phil Koch comes in, lefty reliever, gets the job done. Again, you have to give him credit. You know, after Garcia had the pinch hit bloop single to make it 2-0, Cabrera had another single to right to make it 3-0. But again, it's a lot easier. You're in danger of losing the game if you put a base runner on, because virtually any of the Yankees can hit home runs. Problem for the Yankees are, that's what it looks like now. It looks like they're all home run hitters. Cano, who finished the season batting .615 in like his last 35 or 40 at-bats, it was unbelievable, is now 0 for his last 26 in the postseason, 2 for 32 overall. That 0 for 26 is the longest streak ever in a single postseason, the longest streak without a hit in the history of Major League Baseball. So I always make the difference between the World Series and the other rounds, but 0 for 26 is 0 for 26. So Cano has fallen off a cliff, as has Granderson and A-Rod and Swisher. And you know what the deal is with A-Rod. He got benched. Chavez only 0 for 11 now. He hasn't really done the job as a replacement for A-Rod. It's just been a nightmare. And when you look at the numbers of the Yankees, 3 for 26 with 14 Ks for Granderson. A-Rod, 3 for 23 with 12 strikeouts. Swisher, hard to believe he's going to be back now. This is his fourth disastrous postseason in a row as a Yankee. 4 for 26 with 8 strikeouts. And, of course, Cano, 0 for his last 26, 2 for 32 overall. Four strikeouts for Cano. So that quartet among them is 12 for 107. That's about a 112 batting average with 40 strikeouts in the postseason. I mean, those are staggering numbers, and I'll say this. If anybody thinks that hitting a baseball is not the most difficult thing to do in sports, put in a tape of these Yankee games, the last few games they've played. It is unbelievable. Now, Detroit's pitching great. They've thrown a lot of breaking balls. They've thrown a lot of balls. The Yankees are chasing stuff outside the strike zone. Again, almost the sign of desperation of home run hitters. They want to hit everything out of the ballpark. But when you have four guys of that caliber, and keep in mind, Jeter was their best average hitter. He's gone. Ichiro has been very good. And Ichiro wasn't treated with the respect he deserved when he came over. But now they were batting him second all the time, and he's going to bat leadoff now with Jeter hurt. But to have guys like Granderson, A-Rod, Swisher, and Cano be a combined 12 for 107 in the playoffs, it's hard to believe that the Yankees even beat the Orioles. And it's virtually impossible to believe they can beat the Tigers, and here's the problem. The Tigers won the first two games with Pfister and Sanchez, and they're good major league pitchers, don't get me wrong. But now you know that Verlander is going to pitch two of the remaining five games. So the Yankees, in that old, if you lose the first two in the series, you have to beat the other team four out of five, a very difficult thing to do. It becomes virtually impossible when Verlander is going to pitch two of those games. And that's the problem. Verlander starts game three tomorrow against Phil Hughes. That on paper is, you know, beyond a mismatch. I mean, you don't really know what else to say, Verlander against Phil Hughes. I mean, now, can the Yankees win? Yeah, can they? Yeah, they can win. Will they win four out of five? Well, I'm a Yankee guy, and I don't think they're going to win four out of five. Again, you're going to see Verlander in Game 3 and Game 7 if there is one. It looks very, very bad for the Yankees, and they don't have Derek Jeter. And as much as he'd love to play, even he can't get on the field with a broken ankle. Yesterday, the Yankees only managed four hits. Teixeira, 1 for 4. Ibanez, 1 for 2. A-Rod got a hit his last time up. You know, fairly meaningless. Swisher got a hit. But the New York Yankees look to be in deep trouble. And look, they don't deserve to win the way they've been playing. You know, where does this leave A-Rod for the future? Boy, that's a good question. He's got 5 years left. And everybody, including me, with a brain, complained about their contract. Look at what the last 2 or 3 years are going to be. Well, now it's going to be look at what the last 5 or 6 years are going to be. Because A-Rod was not A-Rod this year. He hasn't been A-Rod. He won't be A-Rod. The A-Rod you know is gone. He's left and gone away, and he ain't coming back. Tigers 3, Yankees nothing. You know, people are talking about Granderson. Look, Granderson's been great as a Yankee. He only hit 230 this year, but he hit 43 home runs this year. Had 40 or more last year. But now Austin Jackson, the leadoff hitter for the Tigers, who was a big part of the Granderson trade. Granderson, the Tiger center fielder then. Austin Jackson, the Tiger center fielder now. Actually hit 300 with 16 homers this year as the leadoff man. He was 1 for 4 with a big run scored yesterday. Cabrera, what can you say? 2 for 4 with an RBI. Even Johnny Peralta at short, 2 for 4. Tigers only managed 8 hits, but the Yankees only managed 4. And the most important score, Tigers 3, Yankees nothing. Tigers lead 2-0 in the series with Justin Verlander on the horizon tomorrow night against Phil Hughes of the Yankees. None of this bodes well for the New York Yankees. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to do the NFL now. A lot of people focusing on the two undefeated teams, and that's fine, and we'll get to that. But I thought clearly the game of the week and one of the early games of the year was going to be the Giants going into San Francisco to play the 49ers. Obviously a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game where the Giants beat the 49ers. They've had some incredible games over the year. But yesterday, frankly, it wasn't a contest. The Giants manhandled the 49ers every which way. Certainly a wake-up call for the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh. Giants 26, 49ers 3, Giants 10-3 at the half, 23-3 after 3. I mean, they were just unbelievable hard. I certainly didn't think the Giants could do this in San Francisco. As you know, the 49ers talking about revenge, etc. But the Giants were able to run the ball, something very few can do on the 49ers. Ahmad Bradshaw, 27 rushes for 116 yards and a touchdown. Wilson, 7 rushes for 35 yards. Just amazing. Manning, more of a manager in this game, made some big throws when he had to. 15 for 28, 193 yards, one touchdown. Most importantly, no picks. Cruz with the only touchdown catch of the day, 6 receptions for 58. Hickson with 2 very fine catches, 4 for 78 overall. Knicks battling that foot injury, 3 for 44. The Giants, a complete team yesterday. Clearly their defense came to play. Alex Smith, and again, Alex Smith has to be better if they want to be a Super Bowl team. Certainly I thought he's improved through last year's playoffs and the beginning of the season this year. Obviously he took a step back yesterday. 19 for 30 for 200, but 3 interceptions, no touchdown picks. They're running a more efficient Wildcat than the Jets are. Kaepernick, the backup quarterback slash Wildcat guy, 4 for 7 for 82 yards, but clearly not enough. And I got to tell you, the 49ers, who I picked to go to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots, and certainly I can't back off of that after one game, but these are bad signs. The question now going around the league today correctly is, can the 49ers come back if they're 14 points down? The answer is no right now, because clearly what the Giants did was they just pinned their ears back when they were up, as they were up 23-3. They're just rushing the passer. And Alex Smith, who has become a good NFL quarterback, is just not going to bring them back. He's not good enough. And what else the Giants did that was hard to believe is they stopped Frank Gore. Gore with 8 rushes for 36 yards. Hunter 4 for 26, but they really didn't mount a rushing attack, which was surprising. So San Francisco couldn't stop the run, and they couldn't run the ball. If they can't run the ball, Alex Smith becomes less effective, 3 picks. Manningham, the former Giant, did have 5 catches for 72 yards against his old team. But really, just a dominating performance. You know, don't know what else to say. David Wilson had a 66-yard kickoff return, which led to a Bradshaw TD. The 49ers, who crushed the Giants in terms of rushing the passer last year with 6 sacks against Eli, had no sacks yesterday. Antrell Roll was huge with 2 of the 3 interceptions. Prince Amukamara playing better now, healthy and on the field, had the other interception for the Giants. So really there's not much that the 49ers can take away from this game. And if you saw Jim Harbaugh interviewed after the game, you saw, I mean, he really didn't know what to do. This is a real wake-up call for the 49ers. Can they come back? Yeah, they can come back. But yesterday, the Giants sent a message to everybody. They might very well be the best team in football right now, and you couldn't say that a couple of weeks ago. Now, another interesting game, and again, we'll get to the undefeated teams, Falcons and the Texans, undefeated going into yesterday's action in a minute. But the other game I thought was even more interesting is the amazing Seattle Seahawks at home, very difficult place to play, but with the Patriots coming in. And the Patriots, as I've discussed, I mean, Seattle with an amazing comeback win, 24-23. As I've said on Friday, the Patriots could have easily been undefeated going into this game. They're now 3-3, the Patriots are, after taking a 23-10 lead. Amazingly, Russell Wilson, and now you understand, if you didn't before, why Seattle would take him and start him. He leads them back with 2 touchdown drives, hits Sidney Rice with a 46-yard bomb into the end zone that proved to be the winning touchdown, Seattle 24, New England 23. New England was up 14-10, 17-10, 20-10, 23-10, but you see a pattern. The pattern being they can't punch it in. And one time Brady, first and goal from like the 4 or the 5, threw a pass over the middle to Welker, bounced off his hands and was picked off in the end zone. If they could have even gotten another field goal then, they would have been up 26-10 when Seattle mounted their mad comeback. And Seattle would have then had to have made two 2-point conversions on top of the two touchdowns just to tie. So that was a key interception thrown by Brady. But give Russell Wilson a lot of credit. I mean, he threw a touchdown pass to Braylon Edwards to make it 23-17. Then the defense held the Patriots. Then Leon Washington runs a punt back from his own 18 to his own 43, which makes it a little easier, obviously. Good field position. You have to have a touchdown. But if you saw the play, Sidney Rice with a double move, the Patriots starting two rookie safeties. They're playing cover two. On the double move, he made a move inside, you know, turned into pretty much a post pattern, and he was wide open, and Russell Wilson threw him a perfect pass. Seattle 24, New England 23. The big questions in Boston today will be, you know, why did New England get away from their rushing game? They really couldn't establish it yesterday. Ridley, 16 rushes for 34 yards. Bolden, 6 for 28. Danny Woodhead, 4 for 25. I mean, they've rushed for over 200 yards the last 2 weeks. Tom Brady threw the most passes in his illustrious career, 58. 36 for 58 for 395 and two TDs, but he had two big interceptions, including the one down on the goal line that I thought was the turning point in terms of the Patriots being able to put the game out of reach and then giving Seattle hope. Russell, what can you say about him? 16 for 27, 293, three TDs, no picks. You know, the more and more you look at these games, especially in a passing league, a high-scoring league, the way the NFL is now, can't hit the quarterback, really, can't hit the receivers. The interceptions become more and more important every week. Yesterday, Brady threw two, Wilson threw none. Patriots stopped Seattle's rushing game, Marshawn Lynch 15 for 41. But Rice, 3 for 81, including that 46-yard touchdown bomb. Tate, 3 for 47, including a long bomb. Baldwin, 2 for 74 and a touchdown. Braylon Edwards, 2 for 21 and a touchdown. Wes Welker was Wes Welker, 10 receptions for 138 yards and a touchdown. Gronkowski, 6 for 61, no touchdowns. I think Brady had him in the end zone on one of those drives that resulted in a field goal and threw it behind him. Hernandez, 6 receptions for 30 and a touchdown. Brandon Lloyd, 6 for 80. But the Patriots dominating the game, up 17-10 at the half, 20-10 after three, 23-10 early in the fourth quarter, lose to the Seattle Seahawks, give Pete Carroll a lot of credit, Seattle 24, Patriots 23, Seahawks move to 4-2. Patriots, like everybody else in the AFC East, and we'll get to the standings a little later, Patriots and everybody else in the AFC East, now 3-3, the entire division. Think about that. Now to the undefeateds. Give Atlanta credit. To me, they didn't play that well. Oakland comes across the country, but Atlanta ekes out the win at the end. Atlanta 23, Oakland 20. You know, you wish they would change the rule on the game-ending field goals. What happens is Atlanta game's 13-13. Asante Samuel, the former Patriot, picks off of a Carson Palmer pass, goes 80 yards with 2:40 left in the game, gives Atlanta the lead 20-13. But Oakland comes back. Carson drives them down the field. Darren McFadden runs it in to make it 20-20. But then Ryan, with 30 seconds to go, hits the ageless one, Tony Gonzalez, twice. Sets up Matt Bryant for a 55-yard field goal, and there's a little less pressure here. You kick it, you win. You don't kick it, you're in overtime. But Oakland did that stupid timeout right before the snap deal. They ran the snap through. Bryant kicked it and missed it. You know, I think it gives you, the field goal kicker, a chance to line up your field goal. So he missed it left, but then he re-kicks, and this time it's good from 55. Matt Bryant wins the game. Matt Ryan was not that good. But Atlanta gets the win anyway. You know the old sign of a good team. You don't play that well and you win. Atlanta 23. The Raiders 20. Matt Ryan, 24 for 37 for 249, one TD and three picks. And I did say the picks are important, but here, Atlanta, despite not playing well, no running game. Turner, 11 rushes for 33 yards. So they have no rushing game. They have three picks, and they still beat Oakland. Atlanta, 23. Oakland, 20. Carson Palmer, 23 for 33 for 353, one touchdown, one pick. McFadden, 27 rushes for 70 yards, not really that good, about 2.5 yards a carry. Goodson, 4 for 59. Moore with 5 receptions for 104 yards and a touchdown for the Raiders. White, 6 for 72 and a touchdown for the Falcons. But give the Falcons credit again. To me, the sign of a really good team, you play poorly and you still win. So the question now, the Falcons at 6-0, are they the best team in the NFL? And I've heard a couple of people say today they are. I don't believe that at all. I think the Giants are better. I don't know if people think the Texans are better. We'll get to the Texans in a second. But Atlanta 23, Oakland 20. Atlanta the only team left undefeated. Why? Because Green Bay, with their season on the line, goes into Texas and just hammers, goes into Houston and hammers the Texans. I mean, Green Bay stepped on them early and often, 14-0 after one quarter, 21-10 at the half. And they coast to a 42-24 victory. You know, Aaron Rodgers getting a lot of criticism, Packers getting a lot of criticism, guys on ESPN showing how Aaron Rodgers is missing throws he used to make, blah, blah, blah. But the Packers hammer the Texans in Houston. Packers 42, Texans 24. Aaron Rodgers 24 for 37 for 338, 6 TDs and no picks. Matt Schaub 20 for 33 for 232, no touchdowns and 2 picks. Yates came in and played a little at the end, 2 for 5 for 23. He threw a pick as well. So Rodgers 6 touchdowns, no picks. Houston quarterbacks, no touchdowns, 3 picks. Not hard to do the math on that one. Again, the Falcons, the rare exception where their QB throws 3 picks and they win the game. What can you say? The Packers put themselves back in the mix at 3-3. Texans 5-1 show that they're human. Jordy Nelson getting a lot of criticism across the country. 3 touchdown catches from Rodgers yesterday, 3 of the 6, including a 41-yarder. James Jones, 2 touchdown catches. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was just, think about that, 24 for 37, 6 TDs, no interceptions. Green Bay sending a message, we're not out of it. I don't think anybody really thought they were out of it, although if they lost to the undefeated Houston Texans in Houston, they would have been 2-4. But the Packers hammer the Texans 42-24 in a huge win for the Packers. Bunch of other interesting games. Minnesota goes into Washington to play the Redskins. Not only did RG3 start, he was unbelievable. He was the leading rusher. He was the game changer. This guy really is unbelievable. Redskins 38, Vikings 26. Redskins up 17-9 at the half, 24-9, 24-12 after three. Vikings come roaring back. They cut it to 31-26, but that's the closest they came, with the final dagger, if you will, being RG3 running around the left side for a 76-yard touchdown run untouched. Griffin 17 for 22 for 182, one touchdown, one pick, but 13 rushes for 138 yards and 2 TDs, including that 76-yarder. He's the difference. I mean, just unbelievable. RG3 worried about the concussion, got clearance to play. The Redskins are a good team. At NFC East, tough as always. Dallas, Eagles, Giants. Right now the Giants are the best. Giants play the Redskins next week. Should be a fascinating game. But give RG3 and the Redskins a lot of credit. Ponder coming of age, 35 for 52 for 352, 2 TDs, but also 2 interceptions. Peterson, just okay, 17 for 79 yards. Percy Harvin, 11 receptions for 133 yards. Jenkins and Rudolph caught the touchdowns for the Vikings with their furious comeback, but it's not enough. The Washington Redskins 3-3 now, 38. The Vikings 4-2 now, 26. RG3 showing he's a major player, coming back from that hit he shouldn't have taken last week, where he had a concussion but was given clearance to play. The Redskins beat the Vikings 38-26. Big NFC East showdown next week, Redskins and Giants. We'll get to the rest of the NFL and some other stuff after the break. This is the Steve Callis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to go right to the rest of the NFL. Another fascinating game, especially if you could see the end of it, which I did get to see. Cowboys in Baltimore to play the Ravens. Ravens decimated on defense with injury. I think it's a true statement. You've heard it a few times now. The Ravens are becoming an offensive team. For years, they had the dominant defense. They really didn't have the good offense. Joe Flacco has come of age as of last year. The Cowboys still scraping, you know, whatever you think of that NFC East, and I think it's the toughest conference. Everybody always seems to be around 500. You'll recall the Giants won last year with a 9-7 record, won the division, won the Super Bowl. They knock each other around. There's four good teams. RG3 has made Washington relevant. The Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants, obviously all good and talented teams. Yesterday, the Ravens up 17-10 at the half. They're leading late 31-23. Tony Romo drives the Cowboys down for a game-tying touchdown. For a game-tying touchdown if they can make the two-point conversion. They do not. Dez Bryant claims he was interfered with in the end zone. I don't think so. But 31-29, Dallas gets the ball back again. Tony Romo driving them down the field. They have one timeout left. They throw a ball to the 33-yard line of the Ravens. They get a completion. There's 26 seconds left when that completion is made. They have a timeout left, yet they are unable to go up to the line and either spike the ball or run a play quickly, still with the timeout in their pocket. Instead, inexplicably, they can't line up. They can't run a play. Tony Romo winds up calling timeout with 6 seconds left. They send Dan Bailey out for a 51-yard field goal. Makeable? Yeah, it's makeable. But Bailey just misses it wide left. The Ravens survive. Ravens 31. Dallas 29. I mean, Dallas has Murray rush for 93 yards. Felix Jones rush for 92 and a touchdown. Bryant 13 receptions for 95 yards and two touchdowns. Witten 6 for 88. But it's not enough. Ravens 31. Cowboys 29. Joe Flacco, 17 for 26 for 234 in the TD. Romo, 25 for 36 for 261, two TDs and one pick. Ray Rice for 16 for 63 yards. Pierce, 4 for 21. Rice with two rushing touchdowns. Anquan Boldin, 5 receptions for 98 yards. Pitta, 4 for 33. This is one of those survive games for the Ravens. And just another we almost won loss for the Dallas Cowboys. Tom Jackson, clearly disgusted with the Cowboys, said, all I can say is Dallas is 98-99 in the 21st century. And you got to wonder, with all that money and all that talent, this team just can't win. I mean, they find amazing ways to lose. Is it Romo's fault? I don't know. He drove them down the field yesterday. Cut it to 31-29, couldn't convert the two-point conversion. I don't think there was any interference on Dez Bryant in the end zone. But Romo brings him down again to at least have a shot. Should he have run another play? Absolutely. Is that on him? I think so. Jacoby Jones ties the NFL record with a 108-yard kickoff return for the Ravens. You know, it's very interesting because years ago, before they moved it up, before they moved the ball up to kick off, to stop kickoff returns, I think, you know, nobody would run the ball out on the kickoff 8 yards deep in the end zone. Now everybody routinely at least does it 5 yards deep in the end zone. But Jacoby Jones ties Randall Cobb and Ellis Hobbs, both of whom have returned kicks or punts 108 yards for touchdowns. Again, that could have never happened, would have never happened in the NFL before the last couple of years. Ravens 31, Dallas 29. Cowboys dropped to 2-3. Ravens improved to 5-1. But the Ravens with a big toll, injury-wise. If you saw the play, Ray Lewis makes a tackle and hurts his tricep. Tricep injuries are usually season-ending. He gets an MRI today. Ladarius Webb, their fine corner, tears his ACL. Elodie Nada has a torn MCL, which obviously isn't as bad as the anterior cruciate ligament, and also has a shoulder injury, but he did finish the game yesterday. Ed Reed's still around, but again, it's kind of a changing, not that the Ravens don't have a good defense, they do, but it's not the dominant defense they once had. So Lewis might be done for the year, Webb is done for the year, Haloti Ngata, you got to see how he's going to come out with his injuries. But again, a huge win for the Ravens, admittedly at home, 31, Cowboys 29. A few other interesting games, Detroit on the road in Philly, Philly up and down, wins by a point, loses by a point. Michael Vick, not quite what everyone thought he was, took a beating yesterday. Detroit 26, Philly 23 in overtime. Philly up 7-6, up 16-6 then after three quarters. Then Stafford runs it in to cut it to 16-13. Philly staying aggressive. Vic hits Macklin for a 70-yard TD catch and run. 23-13 late. But Stafford hits Burleson with a 22-yard touchdown pass to cut it to 23-20. Jason Hansen kicks the field goal late to tie it at 23. Philly gets the kickoff, can't drive it, has to punt, and Hansen again comes out with a 45-yard field goal in overtime. You know the rules now. Once Philly gets the ball and doesn't score, a field goal wins it. If Philly had kicked a field goal, then Detroit would have gotten the ball. Hansen kicks a 45-yarder in overtime, Detroit 26, Philly 23, Stafford 22 for 45, 311 yards, one touchdown. One interception. Vic 28 for 46 for 311, two touchdowns, but two interceptions. Detroit 26, Philly 23. Andrew Luck coming into the Meadowlands to play the Jets became a non-game. The Jets with 21 points in the second quarter, lead 21-6 at the half, coast to a 35-9 victory. Cromartie with a big interception. He actually had two. The second one he returned for a touchdown, called back for a penalty. Sanchez hit Stephen Hill for a touchdown, and then later Jason Hill for a touchdown. Sean Green, unbelievable, 161 yards rushing for the Jets, three touchdowns. The Jets sack Andrew Luck four times. Luck throws two interceptions. Jets 35, Colts 9. Jets, like everybody in the AFC East, 3-3. The Colts 2-3 after that great comeback win over the Packers last week. A few other games quickly. The Cardinals coming back to the field after going 4-0. They've now lost their last two. The Bills go out to Arizona, the schizophrenic Bills, I think. They beat the Cardinals in overtime. Bills 19, Cardinals 16. Now, this was a fascinating game. The Bills are up 16-13 in the fourth. The best that Arizona can do is set Jay Feely up for a 61-yard field goal to tie, and he makes it. They go into overtime, and then Feely has a 38-yarder to win the game, and he hits the upright. So he kicks an amazing 61-yarder to tie up the game and send it into overtime, and then he misses a 38-yarder by hitting the upright. But Arizona is driving again. Skelton, who came in for an injured Cobb, who had hit Larry Fitzgerald early in the game for a touchdown. But Kevin Cobb gets hurt. Skelton comes in. He throws an interception. Darius Byrd picks him off. And then Ryan Lindell kicks it a field goal in overtime to win the game for Buffalo. Buffalo 19, Arizona 16. Fitzpatrick 18 for 32 and 153 yards. Cobb 14 for 26, 128 yards in the TD. Not enough. Cardinals dropped to 4-2. Bills, like everyone else in the AFC East, 3-3. Battle of Cleveland. And again, this is one of those throw out the records deals. The Browns 0-5, but playing at home, score 21 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Bengals. Cleveland 34. Cincinnati 24. Brandon Whedon 17 for 29, 231 and 2 TDs. Andy Dalton 31 for 46, 381 and 3 TDs, but threw a big pick. The Bengals unable to beat the Browns after having beaten them like 10 times in a row. Browns 34, Bengals 24. Browns move to 1-5. Bengals drop to 3-3. Couple of 3-3 teams after the Dolphins at home beat the Rams 17-14. Ryan Tannehill, 21 for 29 for 185 and two TDs. Sam Bradford, 26 for 39, 315, but no TDs. The Dolphins with a nice home win over the Rams, 17 and 14. Dolphins go to play New Jersey to break that tie next week. Rams out at Green Bay, a tough assignment against the revitalized Packers. Finally, the Buccaneers at home, 31 second-half points, up 7-3 at the half. They hammer the Chiefs. Chiefs now 1-5, surprising. I thought they'd be better with Romeo Crennel as the head coach. Buccaneers 38, Chiefs 10, Buccaneers 2-3, Chiefs 1-5. Freeman 15 for 26 for 328 and 3 TDs. That's efficiency. Brady Quinn playing for KC, 22 for 38 for 180 yards. Williams, 4 for 113 yards and a touchdown for Tampa Bay, 4 receptions for 113. Buccaneers all over the Chiefs, 38 to 10. So quickly at the standings, as we said, everybody in the AFC East is 3-3. Patriots, I think, clearly still have a leg up there. Their losses have been by 1 point to Seattle, to Arizona when they had that Gronkowski hold call late. And they lost to the Ravens when that field goal, I think there's no way it would have been good. But it was called good with replacement officials. It was above the upright, so they couldn't review it. So even though everybody's 3-3, you give the Patriots a clear chance to win the AFC East. But they have their own issues, obviously. In the AFC North, the Ravens have separated themselves 5-1. Bengals 3-3. The Steelers 2-3. Browns 1-5. 1-5 after that good win over the Bengals. AFC South, Houston 5-1, but they really have no competition in that division. Colts 2-3. Titans 2-4. Jaguars 1-4. And out in the West, San Diego 3-2. Denver 2-3. Oakland 1-4, Chiefs 1-5. In the NFC East, Giants 4-2, only a game up, but appear to be the best team, although they do play the Redskins this coming week. Giants 4-2, Eagles and Redskins 3-3, Cowboys 2-3, Bears 4-1, a half a game against over the Vikings 4-2, Packers 3-3, climbing back in, Lions 2-3. That might be the best division in football, NFC North, Bears, Vikings, Packers, and Lions, at least this year. NFC South, Falcons already with a commanding lead, 6-0. Tampa Bay second, 2-3. Carolina and New Orleans, 1-4. And in the West now, a three-way tie, Arizona, Seattle, and the 49ers all 4-2. The Rams are 3-3. I obviously picked the 49ers to win that division and win the Super Bowl. The Cardinals have come back to the pack. I think it'll obviously now be between the Seahawks with that good win over the Pats. And the 49ers, they're both 4-2. I'll still stick with the 49ers. But that division is a lot tougher than I certainly thought it was going to be. A few other non-baseball, non-pro football things. College football this weekend. You know, it's really Alabama and everybody else. I've been saying that for weeks now. You know, you always have the new the new teams out, the new top five. BCS, Alabama, Florida, Oregon, K-State, and Notre Dame, a very athletic team, with another win. Did Stanford get in on that last play of the game? Well, it's irrelevant. The ref said that they didn't. But Alabama buries Missouri in Missouri. Alabama 42, Missouri 10. I mean, Alabama's just, to me, head and shoulders. Florida can climb into number two, but I don't think they can play with Alabama. Sometimes I think these guys just make these things up to say, oh, maybe Oregon, maybe this, maybe that. Right now, to me, it's Alabama and everybody else. Florida did beat Vanderbilt 31-17 at Vanderbilt to move into the number two spot. Oregon now ranked third. They were off last week. K-State now ranked fourth. And Notre Dame with a good win over Stanford. Notre Dame 20, Stanford 13. K-State struggled a little and beat Iowa State 27-21, but on the road, always a tough place to play, Iowa State. So that's your top five now: Alabama, Florida, Oregon, K-State, and Notre Dame. LSU with a very good win. They moved up to number six, beating South Carolina 23-21. South Carolina drops to number seven. Again, you see all the SEC teams starting to come in with the great power conference that they are, head and shoulders over everybody else. But again, to me, it is and has been and will be Alabama, and then everybody else is battling for second. Somebody's got to play Alabama in the championship game, though. WNBA Finals, best of five, Indiana at Minnesota to play the Lynx. The Fever get 20 points from Tamika Catchings, looking for her first WNBA title. Indiana upsets Minnesota in Minnesota. Indiana 76, Minnesota 70. Maya Moore has 14 for Minnesota, but it's not enough. Indiana leads 1-0 in the best of five series. And again, if Indiana does win, Tamika Catchings has been in the WNBA, I think, for a decade, will get her first title. Maya Moore, of course, the former UConn star, is now with Minnesota, looking for her second title in a row. Want to get to the TV for tonight. The main event, Cardinals at Giants in San Francisco, Game 2, 8 o'clock Eastern, nationally on the Fox Network, ESPN Radio, if you can't get to your TV. A good matchup, Carpenter against Vogelsong. If you watched yesterday, Lincecum, who did not get a start in the division series, came into relief yesterday but only threw two innings, so he probably will pitch Game 3 on Wednesday. They play Game 2 tonight, off day Tuesday. Looks like Lincecum has earned his way back in. Again, he had a terrible regular season, but did show signs in September and in relief in the first round of being Tim Lincecum again. So he'll get a start. But tonight it's Carpenter, one of the great money pitchers, against Vogelsong, 8 o'clock Eastern, Fox TV nationally. The other big event, and it is a big event, professional football, NFL football. The Broncos and Peyton Manning go out to San Diego to play the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. That's 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 on the West Coast, of course. And that's the national Monday night game on ESPN. So Cardinals at Giants, 8 o'clock Eastern on Fox. Broncos at Chargers, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Those are your two big events tonight. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.